When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Let's Go Otsko.
And I'm in quarantine.
At home. Hey everyone, it's Otsko. How are you? How are you? I hope you're well. I don't know about you, but I just found out that I am a mezzo-alto. Ha, yeah, that's a singing term. And yeah, I got my first singing lesson today. Yeah, that's right. I am now taking singing lessons for the first time in my adult life. I've taken them as a kid, but all of it's a blur. You know, sitting in the teacher's house with like six other students. You know, this is a one-on-one that I'm doing. As an adult, send prayers to my husband Ryan. Send prayers to my neighbor. Because, boy, I have not sang in a long time, like for real, for serious, you know what I mean? And here I am as a grown adult, not having practiced truly singing from the diaphragm, which I found out today sits right underneath your lungs, okay? I knew it was like below my chest, but I didn't know it was right below my lungs. And did you know it wasn't a muscle? I found out today it's a membrane, or at least that's what she said. So apparently, every time you see singers and their stomach is coming out, like protruding out, and you're like, ooh, they're really working that diaphragm muscle, I guess it's not a muscle. I mean, like you, when you take deep breaths and you're doing correctly, apparently your stomach does expand, but it's not a muscle. I don't know. I'm like learning. I'm like back in school and I'm really excited about it because it feels like I'm learning about the body. I'm learning about my voice. Main question I have is, what do you do with your face while you're singing? Like, I truly don't know, because she's got me singing, right? Doing scales and trills and all that, like, brrr, that kind of stuff. And the whole time, she's like, you look terrified. And I recorded myself during the class, and I looked back at the footage. I look terrified. I look like I am surrounded by 12 skunks, and I have to walk on eggshells at the same time. And there I am trying to sing beautifully. But what's the point if I look like I'm scared for my life, you know? And people have said this about dancing, right? Oftentimes with dancing, people are like, okay, cool, I'm dancing. But what do I do with my face? And as a dancer, I have answers to that, you know, especially if you're like videotaping your dance and you're posting it on social media. Here's what I'll say, okay? You get a free tip today, all right? When you're dancing, there are a couple of things you can do with your face, all right? You can do stoic, okay? That gives you kind of like a faux swagger. That looks cool. If you want to be playful, you can even sometimes like wink while you're dancing, but don't get too crazy about it because you can look like you're about to kidnap somebody. Like, you know, you can look like scary if you wink too much or smile too much, or even worse, desperate. You know, you don't want to look desperate like smiling because I don't know what to do with my face, okay? You know, it's more just like subtle facial gestures. Right? Let's say that you are doing something cute. Keep the smile like subtle, you know, like a grin. Yeah. I said that there are two things you can do in dancing and I just gave you a few. But that's what I know. So once this whole lockdown is over and you have like still a social distance dance party, or let's say you're doing all these dance parties on Zoom, right? And you're dancing along with friends and you get self-conscious about your face, remember those tips. Stoic or do subtle gestures that match the tone of the dance. There, boom, just like that. God, I'm so smart. So I need to work on my singing face. I will let you know how that goes as the singing lessons progress over the weeks. But first, we gotta get to the podcast, okay? I'm going to tell you about our guest. We have Joel Kim Booster today. Joel. Speaking of singing, right? Something me and Joel Kim Booster have in common, along with actually fellow comedian Brendan Scannell, is that all of us worked at a Cold Stone Creamery. That's right. All of us at different points in our lives worked at Cold Stone Creamery. And that is a special place, a unique place to work for, because it's one of those few places where you're supposed to be just slinging ice cream, but you also have to sing. That's right. If you don't know, at Cold Stone Creamery, every time you get a tip, you have to sing. So there were various songs that we had to learn, right? And for me, as a teenager, it was like, it was actually my first job. And it was like the only job that I knew of that was food related, where you had an audition. You had to audition to get the job. And I've been thinking, how fitting is it that me, Joel Kim Booster, and Brendan Scannell turned out to be comedians, performers, who had jobs where we had to perform in entertainment style, you know? And how crazy is it that out of the three of us, I was the only one who came out of it still unable to sing? I don't know. These are the mysteries in life. All right, with that said, here's Joel Kim Booster. But first, if you're enjoying our podcast, we would greatly appreciate a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. That's right. That really helps us out and keeps us going, especially during this pandemic where podcast networks are dropping podcasts like flies. That's right. Ad sales are down. You know, I don't need to go into it. But I'm trying to get my grandma fed, so we'd greatly appreciate it. Also, our episodes recorded during the pandemic are also available as a video version. To watch that, you have to join our Patreon at patreon.com/letsgoatsuko. Check it out. Do it. And without further ado, here's Joel. Oh my goodness, I'm so excited to be here with my guest, Joel Kim Booster. Wow, crowd goes wild. Hi, Joel.
Hi.
How are you? Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me. I'm so excited. It's been a long time coming. I feel like we've been trying to make this work for truly years, since childhood. I've been trying to appear on your podcast.
Yeah.
And I'm so glad that it only took a pandemic to get me here.
I know. We've been trying to get you on the live show, especially.
I know. I'm so mad that I haven't. When we get to do live shows again, yeah. I am going to do the live show. And I know that in my heart of hearts.
Keep a couple of dates open for 2022, okay?
I'll put that in my cal for sure.
So the live show, we just kept missing each other. The stars didn't align, you know. Mm-mm. She's busy. Joel's busy.
Well, and Atsuka, you're pretty busy too.
You know what I've been wanting to do is like, oh, even in busyness, be able to like change up my look or something. But here I am with the same fucking old bangs. And you went through, you went blonde.
I went blonde about 6 months ago. And while they say blondes have more fun, I have had less fun demonstrably since I became blonde, at least this second go around.
Well, is it because it bled into a pandemic?
Yeah, that's definitely it. I would say I had about the same amount of fun and then much, much less fun after the pandemic started.
Right. So it's like, what's the point of being blonde if we're all locked inside?
I know. I'm about to shave it all off, though. So I'm about to join that club.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Is this for a cause? You never know. Is it a...
Yeah. I'm donating it to Locks of Love, just about the 3 inches of hair that I have on my head.
Yeah.
They're going to make a gorgeous two-toned ombre merkin with it, which is going to be fabulous for someone in the industry to use. I can't wait to see who gets to use it.
Oh, I was thinking eyebrows. It could eyebrows.
I would use that for myself. I wish I had bushier eyebrows, honestly.
Just like some ombre eyebrows. Just fades into blonde.
That would be gorgeous.
Yeah, we're all changing looks, but again, I've been keeping the same. And speaking of trying to get you on the live show, someone we did have on the live show was Brendan Scannell.
What did that villain say about me?
Okay, so it wasn't something he said about you, but he had to do a challenge, right? Where on the live show on Let's Go, Let's Go, he had to do a challenge where he had to lie for 3 minutes straight.
Uh-huh.
Based on a lie that we assigned to him. And at the time, it didn't occur to us. But anyway, his lie was that he had to say that he had worked at a Cold Stone and stick to it, a Cold Stone Creamery. And he crushed it because he knew all the facts, right?
Yeah.
And so he ended up winning for lying the best. But now that I look back to it, it's like he should have actually lost because he didn't have to lie at all.
Why is that?
Well, the whole time he was being like, well, Cold Stone Creamery, you know, we sang songs like this and I worked there for this many of years, you know. And we were like, here we were being like, oh, my God, he's like seamlessly lying. But it's because he was just telling the truth. Does that make sense?
He actually worked there?
You didn't know he worked at a Cold Stone Creamery?
No, because I worked at a Cold Stone Creamery.
I know you did. And so did I.
That's crazy.
So
we should get the band back together. One last scoop. You, me, and Brendan.
That's right. One last golden scoop. Yeah. No, so out of the comedy scene, I feel like the three of us were the only ones that I know of that have worked at a Cold Stone Creamery.
Yeah, I'm trying to think if there's anybody else that I've met along the way, but not yet. No. That's so lovely to hear. Did you like working there?
I did. Well, so it was my first job ever. It's super memorable to me because I was undocumented for 7 years.
Wow.
And then I got my green card and Cold Stone was the first people to accept me. Like, I applied so many places. Cold Stone said, yes, girl, part of the family now.
Yeah, you've got that card. Get in here and scoop some ice cream. Some songs.
Yeah.
Did you make up your own songs or did you go with mostly the corporate songs?
They didn't let me run with my own. I could barely keep up with the corporate ones. How about you? You made up... I could see you,
yeah,
probably.
Yeah, we had... Well, I was never responsible for any of the ones that we made up, but there was one... Do you remember that song... To the window, to the wall.
Mm-hmm. To the sweat drop down my...
You know, all that. We had... Now, the stone that you... The Cold Stone was called the Gia. I don't remember if you remember that.
Oh, yes, I do. Okay.
The Gia. And so we would go... from the Gia to the cone. Till all that ice cream fall, and then et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Deeply humiliating in hindsight. I can't believe I just repeated it here.
To the Gia, to the cone.
Yeah. I mean, it's brilliant. It's brilliant. It's Weird Al. It's brilliant wordplay. It's unimpeachable.
Yeah, yeah. The syllables are there. It still is. You know, sometimes when you do like your own rendition of a song, it's embarrassing when the words don't fit the melody.
Yeah,
and you keep doing it.
There's nothing more embarrassing that I can think of, actually.
Yeah, to the Gia, to the cone, and then someone always goes like, oh, you know, till the ice cream falls to the floor. Wait, actually, that worked. that worked.
Yeah, I remember at one point someone was like, from the Gia to your mouth, and we were like, well, you're missing a step.
Mm-hmm.
What do we put it in? We took that job seriously. Very seriously.
Was that one of your first jobs?
That was my third or fourth job. I had worked I had just gotten fired from a Dippin' Dots stand in the mall when I got that job.
Uh-huh.
So I went from one ice cream. I went from the ice cream of the future to ice cream and singing. I couldn't get enough of ice cream. Is the problem?
Well, it's a perfect transition. You know, you just go, I've already done the future, honey.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Whatever you've got, I can handle it because I've been handling the ice cream of the future.
Cold Stone Creamer is kind of ice cream of the past because it's like,
yeah, it's
you
very,
gotta make it on your own, you know?
Old timey. Mm-hmm. Oh, God, I actually am craving Cold Stone right now. Just seeing you do that hand motion of the mixing on the slab.
Oh,
I was so good at it. I was actually really excellent at that job.
I bet you were. Look at those arms, you know.
Yeah, the forearm strength.
You had the arms, you had the lyrics down. I don't know if your Cold Stone Creamery made you, it was an audition. It wasn't just, it wasn't an interview.
Mm-hmm.
And I wonder if there's something interesting about like us as performers having worked at a Cold Stone Creamery that was so performative.
Yeah. Do you remember what you sang? Because they made us sing like a pop song.
I did a cheer from cheerleading.
Wow. Okay. I mean, that's fair.
Yeah, I don't remember what I sang, but, you know, they were like, you're going to be cheery, you're going to be performative, you're going to be encouraging to the customers. And I was like, well, I'm a cheerleader. And I was at the time. So I just did like a Venice High School cheer. And then...
Yeah, I think I sang like a Dashboard Confessional song or something really embarrassing.
Dashboard Confessional. That's... Yeah. There aren't many... like quick breaths you can take because I feel like they hold the notes.
Oh no, it wasn't Dashboard. It was that one song that is actually prominently featured in Love Actually and was a lot of places, but it was like, if I could, then I would.
Yeah.
I'd go wherever you would go, way up high.
Yeah.
Or down low. You know, that was a very big song.
Hired.
Right around the time that,
another song that you don't get to take many breaths and because the notes are so long, you know, we're down low and it's just a
I wish I would have thought to turn that into an ice cream song. If I could, then I'd scoop ice cream every I don't know, you know, it's just I'm spitballing here, but I think there's something there, you know. I think that you can make any song about ice cream is what I've learned from my time at Cold Stone Creamery.
You can. It was just interesting. I was like, wow, Brendan, you too. And all of us were at different branches.
We got to talk about this because I'm gonna like get off this podcast with you and dial up Brendan immediately and be like, what gives? I can't believe we did not know this about each other.
Ask him about it. Yeah, well, I feel like he was the one that told me. He's the one that was like, Joel worked at Cold Stone too.
Wow.
Yeah, and he never told you this secret. And it's not a secret, but, you know, I just find it exciting. It was like my first American job, you know?
Where was it? Where was your Cold Stone?
I grew up in L.A., just a little basic girl.
Oh,
you know,
okay.
Japan to L.A., living in my uncle's garage in hiding. And then freaking we got our green card. We did the visa lottery.
Got it.
And
they didn't even know. They didn't even know you were already here. They said, she's over in Japan.
Mm-hmm.
And then,
that's
and
how we
like,
did it. We were
that's
pretending
amazing.
We were pretending we were still in Japan and we would put our names into the lottery. Yeah.
And it was a physical box. They were like, how are they getting their little piece of slip of paper with their name into the green card lottery box if they're already in Japan?
I picture it to be a piece of paper in a box. I don't
it
know.
Is, I picture it to be Harry Potter and the Goblet of Fire.
Ooh, yeah, where it's just like a hat just
pointing. Yeah, just completely random and stupid.
It just like wakes up and goes, Atsuko in West LA, just
exactly.
Like that.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. Except they don't know. Because if it woke up and it went, Atsuko, West LA, they'd be like, wait a minute.
Right, right.
Ice, West LA.
Ice would be at my door.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so that's why the program is so nice, and we need to keep it going. And donate below to Visa Lottery.
No,
no, I'm just kidding. What was I saying? No, I was trying to put like a nice message out, you know, about immigration. Couldn't help it.
Yeah, I hope that was clear that my message was pro-immigration as well.
Oh, I heard it when the way you sang and down low. I heard years of being an outsider in your voice.
Yes. Okay, you got it.
The way you sang it. Yeah. No, so it was like my first job, so I was very proud too. And I was like, I did it because I had to audition. No other place would take me because I had no other previous work experience.
Uh-huh.
Cold Stone believed in my performance abilities.
And how old were you when you started?
17, baby.
17. Wow. Okay. So we were around the same age when we worked there.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Do you know they actually don't sing anymore after you tip?
I sort of gathered that. I wasn't sure if that was just it was a city thing or if it was they didn't do it anywhere anymore, but that's sort of a bummer to me. Because, like, I've been to the last Cold Stone I went to, I think, was in New York City, and, like, certainly wasn't expecting those people to sing for me. Because they, you walk in, and it's like a full grown adult who is desperate for work, and our country doesn't provide, you know, the safety net that they need. So they're working at a Cold Stone creamery for minimum wage, and I'm not going to.
Another message, boom, just accidentally put in there. Yeah.
Message. But. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to look that person in the eyes and be like, can you sing zippity-doo-da, zippity-ay, my oh my, what a wonderful day. You know, I'm not going to do that to that person.
Yeah.
So I neither want nor needed them to sing. But if I were to visit the Cold Stone in the suburbs, I would expect that teenager to sing.
Oh, for
Give me a two-step. Come on.
Yeah. You're lucky I'm giving you a tip when I could be supporting those who are paying high rent, you know?
Right.
You know, and aren't getting picked up by their mom after this shift.
Exactly.
But, so apparently enough people complained, customers complained about the singing that they had to
really?
Stop.
Really? The customers complained?
Yeah.
That's so shitty.
They said, we want to tip the people, but we don't want to be intimidated because we're scared to tip them because we don't want to be sung at.
Oh, a lot of people would ask. They'd be like, I'm going to tip, but please don't sing.
Yeah, totally.
And then we'd be like, I'm sorry, it's company policy. Zippity-doo-da, zip, you know. And then we'd sing anyway. So I guess maybe it's our fault.
I always took it personally when they told me I didn't need to. Which brings me actually to...
Same.
Really? Well, you were like, I'm going to do it anyway.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And I feel like that is kind of what... That's a great way to describe a Joel Kim
Gay
booster.
Rights.
Gay rights or a Joel...
Singing when they don't want you to.
I was going to say, or a Joel Kim booster, you know?
Well, and those are synonymous, those two things.
Of
My
course.
Name and gay rights.
Which actually brings me to a question I have from a listener for
oh,
you.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Okay, his question for you is... Where did it go? Sorry. Ah, this is John from Fulshear, Texas.
Okay.
I would like to know where Joel finds the audacity, because I want to go there and find some of my own. Speaking of audacity, you know.
He wants to know where I, as though it's just something I pick up from a a Top Shop or an H&M.
Mm-hmm. Name more stores that are closing down.
Yeah. That will not exist in 2021. Where do I find the audacity? I don't know. I guess like it started early on in my career, at least, because I didn't really have a whole lot else. I didn't have a lot to lose. You know, that's sort of the beauty of stand-up comedy is that it feels so low stakes for years. Until it suddenly does feel like it matters, you know? I was going to open mics and doing like free shows for like 5 years before anything happened to me. And so you do something that is that thankless and that sort of what feels like nothing for so long that you just start to stop giving a shit. You stop giving a shit at a certain point. And I think that's when that happened for me. That's when I picked it up. And now I'm sort of stuck with it, you know? I'm a lot more scared than I was when I was like 26 and, you know, a couple of years into stand-up. Yeah. But it's a part of my brand.
What do you mean you're more scared?
Well, I think like I have a larger platform and
sure.
There is a responsibility that comes with that, I think. And so I have to think a little bit harder about the kind of shit that I put out there. And I can't just like... I don't know. There's like a lot of stuff I want to tweet and say that it's just like negative about a person that I might like that might suddenly see it, you know? Like
right.
It was way more fun to be mean on Twitter when I had like less than 1,000 followers because it just felt like no one cared what I was saying, you know?
Yeah.
And so now I think people do care. And then, you know, there's the other side of it. It's not just the responsibility, but like there are people who are just like waiting for me to say something stupid. Or say
for
something
sure.
wrong and to fuck up and like revel in it every single time I do. And that is stressful to like live around, you know? And it's like, I'm not even, it's so weird because like I'm at a point where I'm not famous. So like, it's hard to ignore, but I am like too successful to respond to any of it. So I'm right. Like, you know, like it looks so bad whenever, every time I've responded to some like 300 follower Twitter account that says something shitty about me, like somebody called me a roided out narcissist on Twitter like a couple weeks ago. And I like, I don't know, screenshotted their tweet against some shitty picture of them that they had on their profile. And everyone was like, I can't, this is punching down, like, oh. And then like, of course the guy was like, I won because I got him to react. And it was like, God, this sucks. Cause it's like, before, if someone said something shitty about me, like a couple years ago, I could just like do that kind of shit and like, no, but nobody really cared. But now suddenly it's just like, it seems pettier for me to do that. And that's sad for me because I live to be petty. Pettiness is one of my favorite activities.
I know. It's like now you have to be petty with like the people bigger than you. The big guys only.
Well, and I think like Alison Roman. Do you know who that is? Are you familiar with this beef? She's like this food blogger person that I had not heard of until recently because she said in an interview, she's very, very popular amongst like food circles, I guess.
I'm not part of that.
But she talked shit about Chrissy Teigen in an interview. And then Chrissy Teigen like found out about it. And it like started this like sort of maelstrom of like this feud that was like a huge thing. And Alison Roman had to like issue an apology for saying that she didn't want to ever be like Chrissy Teigen and all of this stuff. And I think it is like a lesson in like certainly I'm not at that level of either of these people, but like
sure.
Chrissy Teigen basically was like, I accept your apology. I remember what it was like to like reach a point where I couldn't just say whatever I wanted online.
Uh-huh.
And like, thankfully I'm not there yet. Like I can still mostly say whatever I want online, but I do have to modulate like my behavior a little bit. And that is frustrating, but I'm very lucky. It's a very good problem to have.
No, for sure. It's interesting because you said like when you were first starting out, you were like, you were caring, and then you got to a point where you didn't have to care anymore, but almost you have to care even more now. Actually.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it was like when I was just exclusively doing shows and bars, like I could say whatever I wanted and the stakes felt so low. And now I don't know, like if I say something, like there's now this line that if I cross, like someone will tweet about it and I'll have to hear about it for a week, and that's annoying. So yeah. I try to, you know, but it's hard to figure out what the line is, because again, like I'm not famous, so I can still, you know, say some shitty things about people who are more famous than me, but it is like the line is getting blurrier. Is this obnoxious to talk about? I don't know.
No. I mean, he was asking where you got the audacity, and it was those years in those bars.
Yeah, in those bars. And I miss it. I think I was better back then than I am now.
But like, you don't have the videotapes to prove it, or who knows?
Exactly. Well, there's a couple that I've been begging people to take down that are from that time. So maybe go and find those and you be the judge.
Where do you feel like most yourself then?
Still like in those, like, you know, I do a show with Brendan that you've done.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like it's the lower stake shows, I think. Like I love to get invited to do a show that's like in North Hollywood in a strip mall bar, and like there's maybe 22 people there, but the bar still feels full with just 22 people in it. And there's like one little like 3x3 square stage and a microphone, and then you can just get up there and like shoot the shit, and like nobody in the place has ever seen me or knows or cares if I live or die, you know, like none of them. And so to them, it's because the thing is like when I'm touring and I like do my own shows, and it's nice because it's like at the point now where most of the audience is there to see me, and that's cool. But it's also like, I don't know, they come in liking me, and so
right.
There's less work to do up top, I think. And doing a bar show in North Hollywood on a Tuesday night at 10 p.m. to 22 people
you
who do not
scared.
Know you,
yeah,
you really do. Like, it really does put that fear of God back into you, where you're like, okay, none of these people give a shit about you. None of them care. Like, if the host brings you up with credits, which is embarrassing, like nobody, it's like, okay, so what? Nobody cares. Nobody's seen any of this shit they're talking about. And so It is. It's like the closest thing you can get to feeling like you're like 1 year in still, and like trying new jokes and trying, you know,
yeah,
and,
you're just
and
like,
maybe, you know, feeling that silence a little bit more acutely. I mean, I never bomb, but
if you did,
when I do, if when I
you
did,
when you do, you know, you're like, thank God I did this.
Yes.
Thank God I came on this 3x3, you know, wood paneling stage.
Exactly.
You know, with the stains on the wall, which we, you know, which
talking about giving a dog a blowjob, you know, just like the good old days.
Yeah, and all of us being like, is this mic on? Literally, is it?
Yeah.
You know, and yeah, and people like...
And then seeing like the stage is by the door to the bar and people walk in, see that there's comedy going on and immediately leave.
Totally.
Or like come in the middle of the show and are like, I don't care. I'm going to try and ignore that the fact that the show is happening as much as possible.
You have to, because it never happens in like a place where you can you make reservations. You know what
no,
I mean? You can't be like, I reserved a seat and I didn't want this comedy show. No, girl.
No. One time I did a show at the University of Seattle and it was in the corner of a Chili's and it was during the second Democratic presidential debate.
You were fighting against
Bernie,
a lot
between Bernie and Hillary, and then there was a sports game that was going on, and the Chili's wouldn't turn off any of the TVs. So I had to sit and perform, or stand and perform, for roughly 14 students that came to the show in the Chili's, fighting against a sports game and the debate, and it was
and
amazing.
Who won, Joel? Who won that night?
I would say Bernie won that night, but. Yeah, it definitely wasn't the kids, and it wasn't me.
And it not was... Hillary, unfortunately, it sounds
no,
like.
No, ultimately. I think she did okay. I can't remember those debates. And quite honestly, I don't want to. So
yeah, oh my God. I know, that like it's such a timeline.
Isn't it wild that when we came into quarantine, there was still an election happening?
I know.
Like a primary election
and
happening.
Yes, still during quarantine, too, where it was like, we're
yeah,
going to...
I remember I was making calls... for Bernie during my early self-isolation days, and it was just like now looking back on it, I still had so much hope back then that I would be out of my house in a month and that Bernie would be the presidential nominee.
Yeah,
and look at me now.
I
still
know.
In my house with no
I'm kind of convinced I'm kind of convinced November isn't coming.
Yeah,
because
I mean, how could it at this point?
Yeah, it just feels like it's going to be May through March for months. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I feel like I just keep doing May through March over again. And then,
I like that.
And like,
I like that. I would like that.
I'm, you know, in the process of writing for my Quibi show. All of it feels crazy. You know what I'm saying?
I'm right there with you. I'm like doing pre-production for my Quibi show. So it is, all feels... just wild to be working right now on stuff where you just don't know anything.
See, it's so nice to talk to a fellow Cold Stone Creamery Quibi sister, you know.
And similar to Cold Stone, they have asked us to stop singing, which is hard. Which is hard to hear from a company that is there to support you. But
oh, Quibi was just like, please don't.
No,
put that
haven't.
In your...
they haven't really. But wouldn't it be funny if they had?
Yeah, it would be just such a big metaphor to everything, I feel like, you know, just Quibi told us to quit. Could I ask you another question?
I would love another question.
Came in from a listener. This is Shannon from Mississippi.
Are these made up or are these real people?
These are real people. So I posted that you were going to be yesterday. These are
I always wonder when like Andy Cohen gets questions from the housewives and he's like, Bernadette from South Bend, Indiana wants to know, Dorit, why are you, you know, and it's just but I'm glad to know this is real.
These are real coming in from yesterday. Although I will say a couple of these people, I feel like I wouldn't have guessed would be your demographic. I don't know. I put up a really hot picture of you.
Oh, I love that. I gotta go and check this out.
Yeah, you have a lot of hot photos.
Okay, thank you.
You really do. And you know it. That's why you post them.
Yeah, yeah. Sure.
You know?
I mean, I post them to convince myself sometimes as much as others. Well,
that's what posting photos is for.
Yeah.
Right? It's for us. But the question is, it's very simple. Could he be any hotter? Wow.
I think, yeah. I think I definitely could. And I'm trying. I'm really trying, you guys. What? So get off my fucking back.
Wait, so...
Okay, because I read that tone. You read that question in like a very kind tone. But I read it for the tone that it actually had, which is... Could he get a little hotter?
Mm-hmm.
You know, because I'm not hot enough for these jackals.
Joel,
and I'm trying every day. I'm trying.
What's the even hotter version of you right now? So is it
I think it's about... I think it's about 5 or 6 more pounds of muscle and about 2 or 3 percentage points less of body fat. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Okay.
I'm not at my like pinnacle yet. I haven't reached the final form, but I'm getting there.
It's about muscle over fat. It's not even like I want cheekbones like this. I want injections. No.
It's all about body composition.
Mm-mm.
For me right now in core.
Got it. Okay.
And maintaining it.
Yeah.
Because that's the toughest part.
Well, yeah, because, you know, you want to come out of this looking hot.
Yeah, I know, but I think I peaked because I got really hot, I would say, about 6 weeks into quarantine. Mm. And I think that was too early because then I got sort of it backfired and I started looking at myself going, well, who is this for?
Who
is this for?
I know.
No one's going to be able to see this or look at this or touch this for, you know, months. Fall, maybe if we're lucky, the fall. 2021, more likely.
Mm-hmm.
How long can I keep this going? I don't know.
Right. We all had big plans the first few weeks because it seemed doable and we didn't know the realities. And then the reopened people came out and then they were like, 3 more months. And I was like, in my head, Joel, I am like, it's definitely not till 2021, you know? But that makes it hard to keep up with like, I want to do these sit-ups. I want to do these planks. Do I want to do this?
Because now you're like, well, I have at least 3 months of doing nothing before I have to do them. You know, like that's sort of where I'm at, where it's like, if I'm not going to come out of my house until 2021, then I could really let things go for the next 3 months and then spend the last 3 months before 2021 really getting it back.
Because we work best under pressure.
Exactly. I need a deadline.
I need a deadline and it's only 2 weeks away. You tell me we're opening up in 2 weeks. Girl, I will go paleo.
Billy Blanks, Tybo, you're on it.
Were you ever a Billy Blanks kid?
No, but my older sister had Tybo tapes that I would sometimes watch her do. And I remember thinking Billy Blanks was hot and he's gay. Which is kind of cool to find out later on in life.
Did you know that his son also teaches workout classes?
Does he teach Tybo or does he teach competing?
Oh, I don't know. Why does he teach competing?
Well, that would be like Game of Thrones-esque if he was like trying to dethrone his dad with his own version of Tybo or whatever it is.
I feel like it's a mix of martial arts too, but more dancey.
Okay.
Yes, it's... Billy Blanks Jr., he's a lot skinnier and thinner than Billy Blanks. Not as motivational either. Billy Sr. just had it in his eyes. Those Christian eyes.
Those deeply repressed eyes, probably.
Mm-hmm.
That's where he got all that motivation from. Billy Blanks Jr. growing up in a world where he's got, you know... The world handed to him.
Yeah.
He didn't have to work for it.
The only pressure was just like, you know, well, people will know me as his son. And I'm also doing workout videos. But that was his choice. Nobody told him to also get in the same field of work.
Exactly.
You know?
There's so many other ways.
Yeah, but it's like, I guess he already has his contacts, his dad's contacts, for like VHS, like releases and stuff. Mm-hmm. So it's very interesting. It's Billy Blanks Jr. and his like white wife who do it together. Yeah.
Beautiful. I love that you know that.
Yeah, I feel like I saw it on Shark Tank once. I think he's on Shark Tank. So he goes, hey guys, or hey sharks. That's how it starts. Hey sharks, you know.
Oh, I'm familiar with Shark Tank. I've seen so many of those episodes.
Yeah, so he goes like, I have this workout plan, blah, 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 blah. And they go, what's your name, son? And then he reveals it. He goes, Billy Blanks Jr. And they're like, your dad is Billy Blanks and you're coming to us for money? What happened there? And so I guess like there's this whole family drama.
Wow. No, it really is Game of Thrones. Wow, I'm going to write a play based on the Banks family. Blanks family.
I would love to see that. Yeah, Blanks family. Yeah, because we grew up on him, you know. So when I was a kid, I was like very Christian too.
Mm-hmm. Same.
Yeah. Well, because family. And I feel like, you know, for churches, like churches get immigrants so fast, you know, you first come here, you need friends and they're just
Well, it's like a very like it's like a part of Jesus's platform.
Right.
Is to welcome the immigrants. And a lot of churches don't get that.
But, for sure. But at the time,
it seems, yeah,
it was a church of immigrants. So they were just like, yes, oh. We do the free food. We do the free outings. You can play basketball, you know, after lunch, you know. And so I was in. I was sold. But yeah, at that time, Billy Blanks was a big part of my life. I guess like your sister, you know.
I love to hear that.
Are your parents still like equally religious? I would imagine.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. If not more so.
More so.
Yeah, for sure.
Because they need more to believe in as they age, or?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. It is probably has a lot to do with their being closer to sort of, you know, they're in their 70s. So it is like they're nearing that time when they're thinking about the end. And so maybe that's probably what spurred some of it. I don't know. But my mom definitely has gotten way more religious as she's gotten older, for sure.
Wow, yeah. And have you seen them at all during this
quarantine? Oh, not during pandemic. No. My mom gets pneumonia like twice a year without being exposed to someone who's been on a plane. So, yeah, I'm staying away until there's a vaccine, for sure.
Yeah, wow. She gets sick that much.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I would...
We have that in common. We're not even genetically related, but we both get sick that much.
Wow. I mean, that would make me a believer. I would be a believer too, you know what I mean? But wait, so are you quarantined in LA?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. LA baby.
I think it's the place to be. I think like if you're going to have to do this, it's the place to be. I lived in New York for almost 6 years and oh boy, am I glad I'm not there. Really glad I'm not there.
Yeah, at least we get like the rays of sunshine. I mean, people go on a walk.
I have a little bit of an outdoor space, which just doesn't exist in New York. Mm-hmm. It's nice.
If you wanted to, you could still drive by the sign, the Hollywood sign.
Oh, which I do every day, like clockwork. I can't get enough of the stuff.
You're just like...
I just love to see it. That's why I came here. Hollywood, baby.
Baby, wait till you see me 5 to 6 more pounds of weight, muscle. And what was it? how much less fat? 2 to 3% less fat.
Yeah.
I don't know that stuff.
It's all made up. Yeah, I mean...
I used to be more into fitness. I teach actually like an online dance fitness class.
Oh, yeah, I know.
But I don't need to be like a muscle versus fat to do that. You know what I'm saying?
No.
I feel like it's
just
a very
about
like,
overall health. But like I'm very control oriented and that's the whole reason I started this journey, this fitness journey. It was just because as less and less became controllable in my professional life, I think like I really gravitated towards things in my personal life that were controllable. And that is like why I count calories like a crazy person and,
Yeah.
go to the gym. And, you know, it's like it's not even really like image. I'm never like, oh, I want to look X way. I just want to, I always make it very like tangible. Like I want to be able to add 5 pounds to my bench by next month or something like that. Because I have such weird body dysmorphia that I never believe that I look better anyways. Mm. But like that weight, like the amount of weight I can move, like that is fact. That is not like, it's not angles, it's not lighting, it's not like I can't like see my body in a weird angle and like suddenly lose that. It's like, nope, this is fact. I can lift this amount of weight with my legs or my chest or whatever.
Yeah.
And so that's like very important for me to like hold on to. And if I lose that, then I don't know. I don't know what would happen. I'd go crazy.
Well, I just hope that you don't get to a point where you can lift so much weight that you can't even add any more. And,
I'm in danger of that.
I just want you to be able to keep seeing the progress, you know, if that's how you like to do it. It's like actual, literal being able to measure, like, oh, okay, I have improved, you know.
That would be so cool
If you're like, oh, well, I have no more 5-pounders laying around. I have to order more.
Yeah. Well, my gym would. I don't do that. Okay? I'm not the one who's ordering the weight, okay?
Your gym orders...
God, do some research.
Your gym orders the weight and lets you, rent 5 pounds?
No, it's like a gym. You can just, they're all the weights are around. Have you never seen...
Your home personal gym.
Oh, okay. Well, that's like a whole... We've already reached the point where I don't have maxed enough out. There's not enough. Yeah, there was never going to be enough.
Well, I didn't understand what you were saying, Joel, because you were talking
I was saying
about
I was at the gym. Atsuko, don't try and put this on me. Don't try and turn it around and put it on me.
I felt crazy because you were talking about locations that are closed till 2021. And I was like, what is this gym that's still open? Peloton was open until like just 2 weeks ago, you know? So
wait, really?
Pretty much Peloton in New York. They
I had no idea.
Oh, those motherfuckers were...
I would have gone to New York.
They were so stubborn. Yeah, you could have been there. You could have been one of those fit bucks on the bikes. Ugh. No, it was like literally up until like a month ago, they were still holding classes, live classes with human beings.
Psycho.
New York. And everyone was like, hey, like, don't. This is bad.
Who are these people that are going to the classes too? It's like, just because they're available doesn't mean you should go.
Undisclosed, anonymous. It's like, you know, you pay enough, you get to keep your name clean, you know. But so what happened was, of course, yada yada, two of the staff got the virus. So
of course
they closed down. And like everyone in New York were like, we've been telling you, like literally you're ground zero. Like this is New York, you know. What are you doing, Peloton? But plus Peloton is like known for being able to work out at your own home now. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I didn't even know Peloton had live class. I guess I knew that they filmed some of those live classes. But the whole point of Peloton is so that your husband can buy it for you so you can work out throughout the year. And then on Christmas the next year, you look tight as hell and you can show him a video of your journey, your fitness journey.
Yes. And then in
March. That's the whole point.
And then in March, maybe you let him touch your titty, you know?
Yeah, maybe. If he's lucky.
If he buys you another, like,
I know a lot of people with Peloton bikes now and they love them. And especially now they love them. I wish I had a Peloton.
If you say that loud enough, maybe you will get it.
I wish I had a Peloton.
Maybe Shannon from Mississippi. But she already thinks you're like so hot that you can't be any hotter. I don't know.
Well, that's very nice of Shannon. Thank you. But just know that it comes from trauma.
For sure. Well, speaking of like your at home workouts and like counting calories and stuff, here's a last question from a listener, okay? Chopped contestants. Have to cook something using 4 of your pantry staples, kitchen staples. What are they?
Okay. The stuff that so this has been especially hard for me quarantine because I've lived in this current house since October and I have not ever gone grocery shopping until this happened. Mm-hmm. And so it's been a real lesson for me in terms of like going grocery shopping, like what I have on hand, like just figuring out what I need to have on hand at all times, because I just am not someone who's ever had groceries in the house. I'm rarely home. I'm always getting takeout, et cetera, et cetera. So what I always have is pasta. I always have a can of tuna.
Okay.
Quick snack.
Uh-huh.
I always have beef jerky.
Okay.
And then what's the other thing that I always have? Ricotta cheese.
Really?
Ricotta cheese goes good on everything.
Yeah. You can put it
on a sandwich, you can put it on pasta, you can mix it in a soup. It is perfect. It's the perfect cheese.
Interesting. So ricotta cheese, beef jerky, yeah, tuna. It's just, it's perfect, like, survivalist food.
Yeah, I would actually love to see a bunch of chefs try and make a gourmet meal out of those four ingredients.
Yeah, and
I don't think it's that difficult.
Right. I mean, besides being basic about
it. There's no durian fruit in there or anything crazy, but...
Yes, yeah. But just like a pasta. It would just be a pasta, probably.
Yeah,
but
I bet I would do... I would pulverize the dry pasta.
Wow.
Make it... Such strong words. Okay. Make it into ravioli. Uh-huh. And fill it with ricotta and reconstituted beef jerky. And then what would I do with the tuna?
Well, wouldn't the tuna be part of the filling with the ricotta? Is that disgusting?
No, I wouldn't put it in with the beef jerky and the ricotta. I'd find something more creative to do with the tuna. Maybe make the sauce like a tuna-based sauce.
Oh, yeah. I like that. I would use the beef jerky.
Like the way they use anchovies as like a sauce base, I think you could use tuna.
Yeah.
I'm a genius.
It's a fish, yeah. And I you know, if I may, I think I would use the beef jerky as sort of like bacon bits for some kind of trashy, you know, sprinkle on top.
Yeah, and then you get chopped. Yeah. And then your ass would get chopped, okay? Come on.
I know, you're right. You know, it was a question for you.
I got some ramen packets before... And I've been rehydrating beef jerky and then adding it to my ramen meal, which is a delight. Highly recommend.
Yeah, so it's
15 minutes in boiling water. I just like put the seasoning in with the beef jerky and boil it for 15 minutes. And then I add the noodles for like the last 4 minutes. And it's honestly so good.
It's like you're bringing back to life that beef, that cow.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know that was possible. I thought it was like an irreversible process.
You know what? I thought to myself, there's got to be a way. There's got to be a way. And I put it in the boiling water, and I think I'm the first person to ever do it.
Yeah.
I discovered it.
I've never heard of rehydrating. I mean, you're either really trying to save that cash, or, I mean, I feel like you like doing... Do you like doing like crafty things like that?
No. Okay. No, to be honest, to be perfectly frank, I saw it on an episode of Chopped. I think I've seen people rehydrate dried meats on Chopped before. So
I was interesting. Prepared. Yeah, I'm going to try that. But then I have regular meat, but I would go get beef jerky just so that I could try it. And then I don't know if I actually am interested in that.
Hey, in a pinch, it really helps.
Yeah, no, totally. Yeah. Thank you for that tidbit. You know, in a very special case, I don't actually know how long we've gone because we've stopped and started so many times.
Well, I can just add up my recording. So, so far it is 23. We're at 50, a little over 50 minutes.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, I would like to play a game with you. Since we talked about it, I want to play a lying challenge with you.
Okay.
Would you say you're good at lying, bad at lying?
Very good.
Very good at lying. Yeah, that was, you said, you answered so confidently. Would you say, do you like lie on the daily? Would you say?
I used to, but I try not to anymore. But I was like, sometimes it's always with like, strangers. It's always with like cashiers like people that I'm making small talk with, like wait, like servers at restaurants. Like I'm constantly like, they'll be like, oh, like, are you from here? And it'll be like in LA, and I'll be like, no, I'm actually visiting from Madison. And for no reason, I'll do that. For no reason, but my own enjoyment. I remember one time I was like, when I was working at Family Video, a movie rental place, this mother and daughter came in. And they were like arguing about where she wanted to go to school. And I was like, oh, actually, that's where I go to school right now. I'm home on break. And it's actually really safe. Because the mom was like, it's not safe. It's not safe.
Yeah.
I don't want you going there. And I was like, I actually go there right now. And I think it's really safe. I have never had any problems. And now as I'm telling this story, I'm suddenly realizing I didn't actually know if that school was safe.
Right.
And maybe the mom sent... her daughter to that school based on my recommendation, which was a lie.
Because of a guy at the family video store.
Yeah. I mean, I guess if she's taking my advice, then...
But, I mean, you probably sounded so confident,
you know.
And you went there, so you firsthand know that it's safe.
I used to get in trouble because I would give tours at my college, and if I would forget a fact, I would make it up constantly. So convincing. Make up years. I remember one time I made up a year for when a building was established, and one of the kids on the tour was like, hasn't this school only been around since 1805? And I said it was like in the 1700s or something like that.
You were like,
and I was
shut
like,
up. Who's giving the tour?
I was like, I know what I'm talking about. They don't just let anybody do these.
You were like, they've since reprinted those brochures that you read. Those were old. There's an updated. It's 1700s, bitch. And he probably, maybe he got in. He knew the facts of the school.
No, I made sure he didn't.
Yeah.
I made sure
he
didn't.
Yeah, fucking nerd.
Yeah.
For knowing, just who knows the year of the buildings, you know? And this was Millikan University.
Uh-huh, it was.
And that's where you did theater.
Uh-huh.
That's where you did. Did you do high school theater or no?
Oh, yeah.
You did high school theater too. I found theater too late. It was the last semester of senior year.
Hey, Atsuko?
Yeah.
It's never too late.
I thought you were gonna say. I thought you were gonna say. I've frozen again.
No. I'm here to tell you, babe. It is never too late to get into theater. It is never.
I know.
Too late.
But it's like there's, you know, it's not like I did really well in colleges. You know, like I dropped out of the school that I went to. So within like a year, you know, yeah, I agree. But I wish I had like theater group, you know, and I mean, there is at a certain point, Joel, it is too late because I can't be joining a community theater now.
Yes, you can. Yes, you can. And then you can write a pilot about it.
Well, then I would just be stealing your idea. Like, I'm assuming you have a pilot about this.
No.
No?
I don't.
Okay, you're
done.
But
if you want help writing yours, I would love to do that. But you have to join the community theater first. Really get a handle on those characters. Those kooky characters that make up this community theater.
For sure. I just would be like, I just don't think I've struggled enough by now, you know, to because I love community theater. I went to a Glendale production of, I took my mom and grandma to see the Glendale community production of West Side Story.
Oh, love.
And one of the sharks, where like one of the sharks was like 20 years older than the other sharks. You know what I mean? Like visibly.
That's why you love community theater though. It's the way to go. You gotta.
I know. And Maria was Armenian and it was like, and you know, it was.
Of course, naturally.
Naturally. And it was cool because it was so sincere, you know, it was so genuine that the tickets were affordable. We loved everything about it, you know. But what I'm saying is I wouldn't be the one that gets to tell that story. It's the guy who played the shark who is 55, you know.
Yeah.
When his other castmates are 20.
I don't know. I still think you could tell that story.
Hmm. Okay.
I think you could be... Wait until you're 55 to do it, maybe.
You were... I heard somewhere you were Seymour, weren't you?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It was my senior year of high school.
That's a big role to get. Congrats. I mean...
Thank you. It was a dream. And I've never played a better role since. Still looking to scratch that itch. Don't think I ever will. Set the bar too high.
Yeah.
17
years old, you get to be Seymour. The best songs, the best solos. I mean, it's your story.
Mm.
You know, I mean, some would say it's like the plant, Audrey too, but you go through the arc.
It's Seymour's story.
It's Seymour's story. I did a cabaret. That was my one musical experience.
Wow, that's such a good one though.
I showed up ready to play.
Sally Bowles.
Of course, with Come On.
Yeah,
you know?
Look at that.
I
yeah.
walked in. I was like, to the audition, I said, hi, I'm here to, you know, for I'm going to play Sally Bowles. I would love to play Sally Bowles. And they laughed. I said, why? They said, oh, girl, that's been cast. Sally Bowles has been cast. That was offer only. They gave it to a girl who's been in theater every year and it was like her senior year.
Who cares
Same haircut, you know.
Give Atsuko a shot.
I played Yen. Do you remember Yen from Cabaret?
Can't say as I do.
Yeah, it's because I feel like they really just added her in. She was an ensemble, but I had a name, that kind of ensemble character.
Yeah.
I was a cabaret dancer that had yen, Japanese money, in my bosoms. And I would come out like this. And
I mean, I don't know if I like that.
At the time, I said, I'll take whatever I can get. And
that's fair.
Yeah. And Third Reich. I think they were like, well, we can have a Japanese cabaret dancer. It makes sense, you know, because it happened during World War II.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
German. Anyway, how did I go into all of that? It's because I wanted to talk about theater experience and how great you are at lying. You said you're great at it. So in this challenge, I'm going to have you lie to me for a minute straight.
Okay.
But within your storytelling, I would like for you to tell me something that is true.
Okay.
And at the end, I will guess which one of the entire thing was true.
Okay. And there's no prompt. It can be just a story.
Just a story. Yeah. Just a story. Okay. And I have the time going, and go.
So I just had to go to the pharmacy to pick up a prescription for my eyes. And as I was getting out of my car to walk into the pharmacy in the parking garage, a man in a BMW truly tapped me, hit me with his car. Me with his car, which was sort of insane. It wasn't like hard, obviously. I'm still here. But he tapped me in such a way. And then the look in his eyes was so outrageous because he sort of rolled down his window and he was like, laughing.
Oh.
Like, he was not, like, he was like, ha, you okay? And I was like, am I okay? And I have never reacted. I'm like usually that person who doesn't have anything snappy to say to somebody, but I smacked the hood of his car so hard that it actually hurt my hand.
Wow.
Worse than anything else. And
10 seconds.
He almost got out of his car, but I ran into the Walgreens.
Uh-huh.
Ran, and I didn't even look back before to see if he was following me. But I've never hit another person's car like that in a moment of anger, and it was truly exhilarating and scary because I thought he was going to kill me.
Wow! And that is time. That is time. That was Joel's story about going into Walgreens and how he's never hit another person's car as hard like that in your life. Mm-hmm. I would say that the true thing is that you went into a Walgreens because for some reason when I was watching you, can I tell you what I think?
Mm-hmm.
When you said that he laughed in your face, there was a moment where I feel like you pulled from when I said they laughed at me at the audition.
Oh, wow.
I don't know if that was like a subconscious thing because I had just told you that and I started laughing.
No, it was the laugh. So I went into a CVS today, almost got hit by a car. He did not actually touch me, unlike in my story.
Uh-huh.
And then, but it was close enough that I sort of went... and he just laughed.
So
he just laughed.
He did laugh at you.
He
wow.
laughed at me. And then I didn't have to run away. I didn't hit his car. I didn't do anything. I just walked in and he drove away. But he did laugh at me and it made me so mad.
Yeah.
Because he was in the wrong. He was like looking the other way, pulling out. And then he pulled out and almost hit me. And I was just, again, I went... I had a full mask. I had my mask on, my hat on, so you could only see my eyes.
Right.
And he laughed at me, and he was like a white dude. And honestly, I feel it was racially motivated. I do, because I think people laugh when Asian people are angry. I do. I think that they find it funny. And
they're like, "Wow,
really,
I never see this."
It really pissed me off. No, I think they think our rage is like impotent rage. Mm. Like I think they see Asian male rage as impotent and like intrinsically, and maybe I'm projecting like a full narrative onto this man's reaction that doesn't exist, but it really pissed me off. And I wish I would have hit his car. If I were closer, I would have hit his car.
Granted, the impression of you going, it does make me laugh every time you do it. It's very dramatic. It's a little cartoony. And, you know, it's not a race thing, you know, but it does make me laugh. It does make not to be on his side or anything. Not to.
No, I think you're a little racist against Koreans, as the Japanese have historically shown themselves to be. So,
yeah. Maybe it's
you know what you did.
Generations of just predictable behavior coming out of me. That's interesting. Okay, that was me projecting. You know what? It probably didn't help that I had prepped for you to lie a bunch in the story because you said you were good at lying, you know? So I let that mess it up. And like in the story, I was like, I feel like all of that was a lie except that you went into a store.
Mm-mm.
Yeah, so.
I mean, a lot of it was a lie. He wasn't in a BMW either.
Very
so
specific.
Maybe I cheated at the game. Maybe I cheated because the specifics were just changed, but a lot of it, but in spirit, it was true. I cheated. I really cheated.
No. I mean, that was good. That was good. Like, you really can blur lies and truths pretty well. Props. Props. And fuck that guy for laughing in your face.
Thank you.
It's our month, goddammit.
Yeah, I know. Seriously.
Your month, and it's your month next month. Oh, it was so weird to say that. It's your month next month.
I know. I really do get 2 months in a row, and it feels great.
Yeah, sometimes they bleed into each other. You get, like, Asian queer events, right?
Yeah. Right at the cusp, right at sort of, like, the end of May, early June. It is beautiful. I'm really mourning the loss of Pride Week month, though. I really am. It's sad. Some of my favorite things happen in June, and to not be able to do them is really sad. But, you know, what can you do? It's just 1 year. Next year, I'm just going to go fully insane.
Yeah, it's just 1 year. You're just conserving energy for next year. And while you're at it, you're still looking hot as fuck online. And,
oh, God, yeah.
And thriving. I'm going
to maintain until next year.
That's right. And I believe in you. And,
Thank you.
And you get that, what is it that you wanted? A Peloton bike?
Yes.
Okay. And you've been doing, because you've been giving to the community, you've been doing the Patreon of Matt Joel and the Next L Woods,
yes,
right?
It's my new podcast. If you go to patreon.com/MattJoelL, ELLE, you can sign up to be a subscriber to that podcast. And it's the minimum is $5, and it all goes to the Eviction Defense Network, which is a nonprofit here in LA that's keeping low-income families housed. Or working to keep low-income families housed, which is obviously important because there's a lot of people who are out of work and a lot of people who cannot make rent and a lot of shitty landlords that are going to try and take advantage of that. So,
yeah,
that's what we're doing. All the while, I should say the premise of the podcast is we are recapping Legally Blonde, the musical, The Search for the Next Al Woods, which is a 2008 reality show that ran for 8 episodes that are available on YouTube. So it's pretty niche in every way imaginable.
You keep saying that. You keep saying that, but I feel like the audience is bigger than you think.
Oh yeah, I mean, we're really finding the freaks who demand it.
It aired on MTV, is that right?
Yeah, back in 2008.
Back in 2008, and yeah, just like it, I feel like a lot of people missed it. I mean, it was only 8 episodes.
Yeah, and it was a failure as a show, I think, ultimately. But fun to talk about, a blast to talk about.
It's a blessing they put it on YouTube, you know?
Yeah. Well, they didn't. Somebody did, but I don't know how happy MTV is about it. All this publicity, too.
Is there anything else you want people to kind of look out for or support or something right now?
I do a podcast called Urgent Care with Mitra Johari, and that comes out every week. Look that up. Watch Big Mouth on Netflix, which I'm a writer on and very proud of. And yeah, that's pretty much it for now.
Gorgeous. Joel,
thank you.
You've been amazing. Thank you so much for being on. And that's been our show.
Oh, my God.
Bye.